The holidays are here, and along with it, our own holiday traditions. For many of us, the season isn't complete without attending a performance of the Nutcracker, or Handel's Messiah, or any of the other many Christmas-themed in-person events. This season, many of those events have been canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but fortunately, a few are going online, giving us the chance to view them from the comfort and safety of our own homes. One of those traditions here in Portland is the long-running one-man show, A Christmas Carol, a Victorian reading, with actor, writer, artist, and teacher Tom Bray in the role of Charles Dickens. Tom recreates the public readings of A Christmas Carol that Dickens himself performed from 1849 until his death in 1870. This year, Tom is moving the show from stage to screens, live streaming his performance directly to you this Saturday, December 19th at 7 p.m. The performance will also be available to view on demand up until the day after Christmas. We're fortunate to have Tom with us to talk more about the show, Dickens' own readings of A Christmas Carol, and the enduring appeal of the story itself. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Tom, I want to start out with a little bit about your background. It's such an impressive list of credits as an actor, a screenwriter, and a teacher.
Well, yeah, I guess I discovered in high school when I was dragged in from a hallway by my band teacher that I had a stage bug, and I found my calling. I was fortunate enough to know what I wanted to do from ninth grade on, and so I started acting and moved right out of college on Long Island to New York City, and from there to Hollywood, and I've never kind of looked back. It's been a great career, or careers, I should say.
No, there's a whole lot we could talk about that, but I wanted to get right to your show, A Christmas Carol. Dickens first published the book itself, December 19th, 1843. It was an immediate success. Apparently, the first edition sold out in less than a week by Christmas Eve. Why did Dickens himself start reading it to an audience rather than just relying on the print version?
Well, Dickens was an actor, an amateur actor, and by all accounts, a really, really good amateur actor. One of the leading performers of his day, Charles Macready, said that Dickens was one of the best actors he had ever seen. And so Dickens had been known to do lots of amateur theatrics. He would, you know, stage shows in his own home, and he would also do them for charity. So he was primed to be an actor. He often said that if he hadn't been a writer, he probably would have become an actor. And in fact, he had auditioned for some parts early on and was turned down because he had a cold when he auditioned. So, you know, all of literary history might have changed if Charles Dickens had become an actor. But he started reading this. He first read his Christmas stories for a private audience, kind of friends around the fire. And they were extremely well received. And so he got this idea that maybe he should start giving public readings. And all his advisors said, no, this would be, you know, it's kind of gauche for you to be, you know, a famous writer out there performing for money. So he decided to do them as charity events. And that's what he did. So his first readings were for charity. But at some point, I think in the 1850s, he decided, you know what? I need the income. I've got all these boys to raise in my house. And I'm going to do it. And let's see how it's received. And so he started performing publicly, selling tickets. And audiences accepted it. They thought it was fantastic. He toured all over the British Isles, and also came to America and toured.
Now, how did you first find out about Dickens' readings, Tom, and what inspired you to go ahead and do your own show, adapting Dickens' readings for the stage?
Well, I was reading an article about how Dickens was so influential in our modern thinking of what Christmas is, but because before Dickens, Christmas was a very different holiday, and it was really Dickens who created the kind of Christmas that we think of with, you know, a turkey and with exchanging presents. That was being invented by Victorian England, and Dickens had a large part in that, and also of the idea that one is kind to those less fortunate, especially at the holidays. That was a new idea. And of course, he was very socially active in his writings, and famous for that. And so I that's when I first found out about it. And but I was really inspired to do a one-man show. I'd always wanted to have a one-man show. And I was fortunate enough when I was writing and producing to work with Hal Holbrook for
Mark Twain, yes.
3 years, who, of course, yes, is known for his Mark Twain. And Hal was really an inspiration. I grew up seeing his Twain whenever I could. And so it was not only a thrill to work with him, but he was an inspiration to just go ahead and do this. And that's when that's what I decided to do. Curiously enough, Dickens, when he did his readings, he created his own version of his Carol. And he left out a lot of the parts that we think of as important in the telling of the tale, because Dickens was still writing. So he felt that his social commentary should be left to his pen. And he wanted the more festive elements of A Christmas Carol to be in his public readings, and the social commentary to be pulled way back. Now, of course, to our modern ears, it would be unthinkable to see Christmas Carol without the idea of ignorance and want, and all of the redemption story that we find so appealing. So in my adaptation of his readings, I excised some of the things that would kind of mystify modern audiences about figgy puddings and things like that, that delighted Victorians, so that there was room to put back some of that social commentary that modern audiences would find so necessary for the telling of the tale.
And your first performance, from what I could see on the internet, was it 2004, Tom?
Yes. I had received a grant from RAC to perform some readings at the old church, and I did a bunch of short story readings, and one of them was an adaptation. That's when I kind of tried on the idea of taking Dickens' readings and adapting them, and it was just an afternoon at the church, and I think it was an abridged version of what I do now. And it was back in 2004. And I think I really got going with it at about 2006 when I got into costume and did it as a full event as Dickens. And of course, the church really helped me, the old church. I know your audience is familiar with that venue because it's itself a kind of late Victorian piece of architecture. And I've done it there in the First Congregational Church as well. And they're both absolutely beautiful pieces of architecture, and it does half the work for me because, it's like stepping in a time machine.
Yes, very Dickensian.
Which is kind of the idea that I want my audiences to have, which is to be able to, imagine that they're experiencing this. Now, this year, when I stream it, I really had to rethink what that is because, of course, I can't have that architecture. I'm not streaming it from that facility. So I really kind of went back to those original readings that I was talking about, where Dickens was doing them around a fire for his friends. And it's a much more intimate telling because, of course, there's a camera, 2 feet from my face. And so it really goes back to that original spirit of, Dickens, when he used to perform in a hall, would introduce the piece by saying, I want you to imagine by a great stretch of the imagination that this is a small social party assembled to hear a tale told around the Christmas fire. So that was really his intention, even when he was in a big hall. And so this affords me the opportunity to kind of try that on and see if I can pull it off. So it'll be fun.
Now, I read, this goes back to 2005, Bob Hicks in The Oregonian wrote about your show that year. Glowing review, no ghostly apparitions floating down from the fly space or up from a trap door, no street scene crowds or wooden crutches, just a room, a text, a voice, and the audience's imagination, which seems like that would translate to live stream better than most theater productions. What are you going to do? You mentioned, of course, the mic's right in front of you. You'll have a green screen behind you and you'll be projecting certain scenes, or how will it work?
Yes. I'm trying to keep it simple, around a fire. There are some other elements that, some surprise elements just for fun. I mean, Dickens wrote it as a ghost story. I mean, many people don't know that A Christmas Carol is a Victorian ghost story, and that there was a great tradition of Christmas stories that were ghost stories. So, you know, the fact that, you know, he's visited by ghosts, spirits, is a large part of the telling of the tale. So there are a few effects that I put in just so that it's not a talking head and they're just for fun. I think they're in the spirit of what, you know, Dickens was a fan of Victorian melodrama. And, you know, the stage things that he did, that he acted in, were melodramas. So there is a certain melodramatic air to A Christmas Carol. He wrote it quickly. He said that because it was so condensed, because it was to be released not as a chapter novel like he usually wrote, where he wrote in chapters and released them, you know, like a month at a time. Yeah, serials. It was all at once. And so he couldn't develop it the way he would have developed a novel. And I think that both acts in it, you know, that acts to its benefit, I think, because it really is. There's a shorthand to it. People understand it. Oh, here's a ghost. Here's a mean, you know, crackety guy. Here, you know, here's poor Tiny Tim. I mean, all these characters are familiar to us because we know the story, but I think they were immediately recognizable to a Victorian audience. And that's part of its charm, is that its simplicity. But, you know, in its economy of words, Dickens chooses words extremely carefully. And I think that, you know, it's a magnificent piece of writing. And so even in his adaptation, because he cut his own book down and he added things to perform with that were better for an actor to perform. So he had that instinct. So he even wrote in the margins of his reading copy, you know, things to add and pauses to make and the way to inflect his voice. And all of that has survived, and all of that formed the basis for my performance off of his reading text. So, so that's generally what it'll be. It'll be, you know, what simple effects I can do, and you know, and hopefully get out of the way so that the words can shine through and the story can shine through. Because you're right, it does adapt itself to streaming well, because it's really sitting around a fire and telling a story.
And of course, old time radio was just basically you, the voices, the sounds, and your imagination. And yeah, that's what we'll get here, right, with a little video accompaniment, you know, you as Dickens, and several effects and scenes. Particularly interested in that, Tom, your description of its lasting charm because of your own experience as a writer for television, teacher of TV, screenwriting at the university level. And you did a podcast called Scripted, which talks about story and writing screenplays. So it seems that you've kind of found in Dickens somebody who would succeed very well today as a television writer.
Oh, absolutely, Kent. I mean, I tell my students that all the time. If a TV is the popular literature of its time, which is now, and that, you know, Dickens wrote serials, and what are serials but episodic television? So, you know, Dickens would have done very well with his novels writing weekly episodes. I think he would, I have no doubt in my mind that Dickens would have been writing for television if he were a contemporary writer. None at all.
I have to agree with you. Now we mentioned, or you mentioned a little earlier about those enduring charms of Christmas Carol as a ghost story, but also as a story of redemption. To me, the fact that belief that bad people can be redeemed, even if the means of redemption are shame and terror through those ghosts, you know, is very comforting. Given the last 4 years in our country, I've thought about that many times, and it's something I think we'd all like to hold on to, but seems even more difficult to believe given the bad people around us today. Maybe it was no different during Dickens' time. What's the message you hope viewers will take away from your performance, especially for this holiday season?
It's kind of like the play Our Town, if you're familiar with that play, Thornton Wilder's
yes.
play, which basically is life-affirming. I read somewhere that someone said a production of Our Town should be playing constantly so that when we need it, we can check in with it. And I think that's true of Christmas Carol. No matter what year it is or no matter what's going on, we need that. We need to be reminded that people are basically good and that given the opportunity, people can be redeemed. And I think that, you know, there's no better time to be reminded of that than the holidays, and certainly this holiday, you know, considering everything that's just happened and the fact that we're in the middle of this devastating pandemic. I think that we need some good cheer. And, you know, Dickens was a really fun guy from every, even his family. I mean, he had his problems, but, you know, personal problems, but everyone that knew him talked about what, how much fun he was to be. He was really a grown-up kid, and he delighted in the holidays. That was, and gave, you know, big parties, and, you know, dinner at Dickens' house for Christmas was an event that he would not miss. He loved playing games, and so he was just of good cheer. And I think that, you know, the combination of that, you know, good cheer and the message of redemption is just really important for us to remember. And so what better vehicle than his, you know, this story, which is just such a fantastic and a fantastic story that none of us seem to ever tire of. I mean, at least I don't tire of it. I think it's worth the telling every year.
And as you say, maybe we need it this year more than ever.
Yeah, very possibly.
Well, Tom, again, many thanks for joining us today. And I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
And you as well, and your listeners as well. Happy holidays. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Tom. We've been talking with Tom Bray, who will be performing his Portland holiday tradition, A Christmas Carol, a Victorian Reading, this Saturday, December 19th at 7 p.m. The performance will be live streamed and also be available for viewing on demand up until December 26th, the day after Christmas. You can find out more online and purchase tickets if you'd like at pdxchristmas.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOOS News In Depth.